can I have your address as well? So I just gave it, and then one day I was just doing work, and then this massive like boxes of stuff arrived, and I was like, what? And then we opened them, my dad was there as well, and he opened them, he's like, it's Vimto. I had like crates of Vimto. Yeah, it's amazing. But no, they
the
just sent them.
Of success.
No, not gonna lie, I've never been sent anything free before. That was the first.
My name is Chris Campbell, and this is Creative Catalyst, the show that will help inspire you through conversation with creative people, telling their stories and how it shaped their career. We're going to be going through the highs, the lows, how it started, and where they are now, all in 60 minutes. My guest today is the owner of Limpet Store, which is an animal-friendly clothing brand based in London. Her unique and playful designs don't take things too seriously and put a smile on everyone's face when they see them. She's built the business from part-time to full-time and now has an amazing community of people who are super loyal to everything the brand stands for. Her name is Emily Fluin, and in this episode we cover building a business from the ground up, how she comes up with her designs, and the future she wants for Limpet as a whole. If you want to find her on social media, she is at limpet_store and limpetstore.com. Emily Fluin, welcome to Creative Catalyst. Thank you so much for coming on. We've wanted to do this for a while, and now that we're both stuck at home, we've managed to make it happen remotely.
Yeah.
Welcome. And did you want to, I'm so glad this has happened. Did you want to explain the quote that you brought with you today for everyone to listen to? And then we'll just chat about what it means to you.
Yeah, so my favorite quote, which I heard last year sometime, and it's just stuck with me since, is give it time, it'll all be fine. And yeah, I just heard it last year. And I think in the most recent year, that's just really helped me in terms of any part of my life, really.
And it's been over this year that it's really kicked off with you going full time with your business and getting Lewis through to put a photo up of him in your stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I know. Best moment ever yet. Yeah, that was great.
The pinnacle so far.
I know. Honestly, like that was my dream and it has happened now. So now I need to try and top it, which I'm not sure I will. But
and that was one of the first jumpers you ever designed, wasn't it?
Yeah, got to get through this. Yeah, it was back in 2017, so like quite a few years ago. Yeah, it was the first one I posted online and put up for sale. And it's like always remained one of the most popular ones, like even today. And then, yeah, when he wore it, obviously, then it became even more of like a good seller for me. Yeah.
Even more iconic.
Yeah, I know. Honestly, it was like crazy when he uploaded the photo. I think I was like in a building at the time, just with loads of people in there. And I was like by myself, so I couldn't even scream with anyone. So I was just like doing it in my head because I didn't want to look mental in front of everyone. But I just saw it on my phone. It was amazing. Yeah.
Did you know he was going to post it, or was that literally out of the blue?
No, I met someone who works in like a clothing shop down my road, and I just she was going to stock some of my prints, and I just got talking to her, and she turns out her stepmom works with him, and so she offered me to drop off a jumper, and then she gave it to her, who actually did give it to him, and he wore it like only just like a couple of weeks later. And I wrote him a note and everything.
Wow.
With it, and I didn't ask him to post it or anything because I just thought he never would, but I just wanted him to have it and know that he might have got it. And then, yeah, he actually posted it online and found my brand to tag and everything. So, yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
A big moment.
Yeah, definitely.
With regards to what we're talking about, which is prints and clothing and everything, what, for people who haven't heard of you, if they're listening to the podcast and they've approached you for the first time, what would you say that you do? Who are you, Emily?
So I am the owner of Limpet Store, which is an embroidered clothing brand, and yeah, everything is designed and hand-drawn and embroidered by me. Yeah, and I do t-shirts and sweatshirts, and then more recently homeware and prints and things like that.
It all looks so cool on your Instagram. I love it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Was it something that you always wanted to do, or did it kind of come out of nowhere? Like where did creativity start for you? Was it clothing, or was it drawing? Was it music?
So I'd say like definitely drawing. So I've always just drawn since I was little, just constantly. And then I, yeah, like studied art and stuff at college. And then I actually went to uni to do fashion design, but I left after 3 months just because it was totally not what I expected. I suppose I wouldn't consider myself like a fashion designer at all, even though I guess my industry is fashion. But for me, it's a lot more about the drawing side of it. And it just so happens that I really like how my drawings look embroidered and on clothing. I just think that's where it lives best rather than on paper or something. So I went to uni, left after 3 months because it was basically just classes of us all sat in rooms full of sewing machines sewing the same seam for like 4 hours and then getting told it was crap. And it just wasn't what I imagined at all.
What were you thinking it would be?
I suppose I thought it would be more about the drawing side of it. For me, that's what I wanted, to like actually be designing the clothes more. But that's not really very realistic in what I guess the fashion world is, in terms of maybe like a starting career in that field. Yeah. Like, we sort of got told within the first week that probably one, if not none of us, would ever become a fashion designer, and we probably all just work for bigger names. They actually said that in our first week.
That's
to
it.
Like give us some prep. So yeah,
say, that's the motivation we need.
It just wasn't, and like, it, you know, like the whole stereotype of the fashion world, obviously there are some like great people that work in there, but even a lot of people on my course, it just felt very competitive and judgmental, even at uni. And for me, I don't find that environment helped me to create anything. It just made me feel, it just didn't help me at all. I just found it a bit daunting and all of that. So yeah, I just didn't enjoy it.
Was that a conversation you had with your family when you decided you were gonna stop going, or was it kind of something that you were like, I'm just so cemented in this myself, I know that it's just not the right route for me?
No, I did chat to them about it at the time, because I'd moved there and everything, like quite far from home and stuff, so it would have mean leaving and moving back home. So obviously, but they are amazing. Like, they always have just trusted what I wanted to do. And even if they think it's wrong, they let me make my mistake. So obviously they wanted me to go to uni if I wanted to. But at the same time, I guess they just wanted me to be happy and I wasn't really there. So yeah, they were all right about it, luckily.
And when you came back, what then was the journey like?
Yeah, so then I worked as a waitress for the rest of the year, and then I reapplied to uni for the next year for illustration. Then I went on and did that for 3 years, which I loved a lot more, because that was just like a bit of everything. So it's like mainly drawing, but we were allowed to do it in whatever way we wanted. So I still managed to test out doing things on material and like sewing and all of that, and making books and just loads of like experimenting. So I loved it. It was great.
Was it from there that you found embroidery, because that's what you do now? Or was there other things that you thought you were going to do when you left uni or during uni?
I didn't. I knew I liked sewing at the end of uni. For my final project, I made a book with all these characters in that I'd made up, and then I started making them out of material for some reason. But that's how I learned how to sew. I just taught myself on like an old machine that we had at home. And then I thought that I wanted to do pattern design, like that. I had it in my head that I just loved making little patterns out of like the same drawing or lots of little drawings all together. That was what I wanted to do for my career. So after uni, I started applying for jobs doing print design for companies.
And was that like a successful thing, or did you apply for a lot and then it didn't go anywhere? What was that like?
Yeah, no, I didn't get anywhere with that, really. I got a lot of interview, like I got one interview in total. I applied for a lot of jobs. One interview to do it for like women's wear, and the interview was okay. I got through like a round and then had to sort of like make a board of ideas for them for the final bit, but I didn't get the job in that. It was difficult because in my head, that's all I wanted to do. But obviously now when I look back, it just, after a while, I did sort of give up on applying and just started carrying on making it for myself, making things in my spare time, because ultimately I just love doing it, even if it's not for a job. But I think it just allowed me extra time, because even though I was still working as a waitress, I think because I wasn't working in a field that potentially was creative, in my spare time it made me want to do that even more.
So was it like every time you came home, you were, what were you doing? Were you making patterns? Were you drawing? What was that like?
So I was making drawings, and then I started getting fabric printed with all my illustrations on, and then I would make makeup bags out of them And then that's when I started first trying to sell things, because I just used to make all these handmade makeup bags that I'd even sew by hand, some of them, for some reason. They would take me like days to make.
It was a long process, I'm gonna be honest.
Honestly, it was in my mum and dad's garage. I would just like be in there all the time, and they would just be like, "Are you all right in there?" And I'd be like, "Yeah." and then it just went from there. I think that's when, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I'm quite an indecisive person, and I say it like it just happened like that. But in between that, there was a time when I interned for a jewellery company up in London. So I used to travel up every weekend and do it for free in like a shed in Hackney in like the winter with like these two girls I didn't know, and just sit there and make their jewellery. Because I thought for a moment that I wanted to do that. And then she opened a shop selling other small brands. So I worked in the shop for a while. But then afterwards, you know, I realised it was just, that was more retail, and I wanted to do it myself rather than sell other people's work. So yeah, there was loads of things I did in between to try and figure out what to do. But it was when I actually started, yeah, making these makeup bags and posting them on Instagram, just pictures of them. And then someone messaged me one day, like a stranger, and just was like, "Oh, I really want to buy it." And yeah, after that, it kind of just gave me confidence to try and sell more. And then I kind of just went from there. Yeah.
Was that first makeup bag, were you like, okay, so this took me 3 days to make, so yeah, if I do, what, £5 an hour,
yeah,
you, this makeup bag is now worth £300.
Honestly,
so if you want to send that across, it'll be
No, but I was selling this for like £10 or something, so it's like, yeah, it was definitely not worth it. But
the 50p an hour you were paying yourself for the...
not even that. And most of the time I would love them so much, I'd be like, oh, I'll keep that one for me. Because it took so long.
That's really interesting. And do you feel like, I think it's such a important thing to know that you might not have it all figured out once you leave uni, and actually it's still a massive process of actually dipping your toe into so many different industries and figuring out where you sit within that, like where your passions lie. And do you think actually by doing all of those things and working for all of those people and even doing the retail side of thing, do you think that actually helped you grow, and how did that help you grow?
Yeah, definitely. Like now when I look back, I can realize it all did definitely help in its own way, but at the time it was not fun. For example, when I dropped out of uni, and then when I was just couldn't get a job and was just doing waitressing, and like I knew how much I loved making stuff and how much I could do, but I just couldn't get a job in it. It is really difficult. It does make you want to give up like all the time. But I am grateful for it now, because it did make me continue making in my spare time, which I think is what led to this, just like practice and persistence, really. Because a lot of the people who I know now who have got their own thing going is because they just never stopped doing it, even though it didn't work out for a really long time, which I think is the same for me. And yeah, like also in terms of other jobs, so like waitressing, and then I worked in like a hotel in London doing reservations on the phone for nearly 3 years when I first moved up here. Things like that helped me in terms of talking to people, to be honest, and confidence in meeting new people, because I've never been great at that. I've always struggled with I suppose just like self-confidence and talking about myself and my work and getting it out there. And actually now I can see that all of that did help me.
Especially in those heavy customer facing roles, like you're saying, you do build up a way of building rapport with someone in a very short space of time.
Yeah.
And actually when it comes to then having them stock you in their retail spaces or anything like that, it can actually become very useful to be able to build that rapport really quick with someone.
Yeah, no, definitely. And like, definitely the whole talking to strangers and holding your own in difficult situations, because I've gone to meetings with companies who I would love to stock my things, and they'll ask you questions on the spot or try and knock down your prices in person, and I just find all of that really intimidating. But you just sort of go with it, and yeah, I've learned so much by just being chucked in and like having to deal with it on the spot, and I think it does all help.
And when that first started kind of gaining traction with your makeup bags, did you think that was going to be a business you ran for a while? Because then you moved into what you do now. What did those makeup bags look like?
They were just like little pencil case size little bags, which I just had my fabric with my drawings on. I got these little labels made with just like my name to start with, because obviously I didn't know that I wanted to make a business out of it then. I was just selling them like on my personal Instagram. And then I think I started doing some little art market in London. There was a few in East London. It cost 20 quid or something to do one on a Saturday. So I did a couple of those and met some other people that were trying to do the same thing. I did think for a while that makeup bags is what I wanted to do, but basically I think I realised that the time it took to make each one was just not worth the money that I was able to charge for them as a brand that wasn't known, if you know what I mean. I then started... I don't know how I really started embroidery. I basically have always loved embroidered things to buy myself. And I just one day was like, oh, I really want to do that. And so I, yeah, spent a lot of time researching it. And then I just bought a beginner's embroidery machine because obviously I worked when I dropped out and stuff. So I had some savings. So yeah, I bought one of those and taught myself how to use it with YouTube tutorials online. And then I just started, I thought I was going to do embroidered bags, but then I realized that actually I think I just did it on one of my own t-shirts and put it online again. And then all my friends were like, oh my God, I want one, which was nice. And then...
You're like, maybe this is...
Yeah, it kind of all happened by chance. Like, if I'm honest, I wish I had sort of set out this plan and then I did each bit.
This five-year goal. And you're like, oh yes, I've ticked off step three now, which is the...
No, I do not work in that way at all, which I wish I did, but in a way... Yeah, now I look back, I'm like, it's great. Like, it all happened a bit by chance and... Just from trying things out, I guess, yeah. So it kind of did help being a bit lost because it made me just try loads of stuff, yeah.
So how does the embroidery machine work? Do you actually physically hand embroider the things, or is it that you set a design in and then it embroiders it itself?
Yeah, so I will do a drawing and then before I got my iPad, I would just scan it into my laptop and then trace over it in Photoshop with my trackpad somehow. And then
impressive.
Yeah, honestly, I don't know how I did it until I got, yeah, I don't know how I used to do that. Yeah, and then I have like this really old program called PE Design because embroidery software has not really progressed at all. It's like still on Windows, so I have to run Windows on my laptop and then, yeah, run this old program and you just upload your drawing into it and then from there you can just sort of change the colours and stitching and then plug it into the machine and it will do it for you. Yeah, it's really cool.
Do you think that some of that learning process is why your designs, they're quite... I'd say they're quite iconic, but also quite simplistic with some of the lines you draw for the people. Do you think that came because of the way the embroidery machine worked? Or do you think that was that always your style and then you just put that onto a top itself?
No, I think that has changed. I used to draw more with pencil and shading and quite realistic type drawings. But I always loved simpler styles, like when I'd look at other people's work. So no, because the machine and the program is quite dated, my one, and it can only pick up quite obvious lines. It can't really do small detail. So yeah, I've definitely had to change my style a bit to go onto the t-shirt in embroidery form. But I actually really like how it's changed because now I'm happier with my style, definitely. Yeah.
And do you think that that's been a big process for you, learning your style? Or has it always kind of been you had this foundation and you just built off of that each time?
I was saying this to someone else the other day. Yeah, I've actually quite struggled with keeping a style, although I've always loved to draw and I know what I like and I know what I want it to look like almost, but I've always just struggled to get there sometimes. But I think just trying out loads of different things, and I've sort of always loved drawing people and like weird, not weird objects, but like little objects that maybe no one else would notice. I quite think that sometimes just that can be really interesting, like, you know, like a banana or something small. But yeah, and I just, yeah, I think that it has developed a lot. If I was to look back at my work from like a few years ago to now, it's definitely changed. But I think actually it's just where I've grown more confident with my work. And also I do think as I've got older, I don't mind as much if people don't like it. I used to really worry about that. And a lot of the time people would be like, oh, that's a bit weird. Because I do think some of my drawings sometimes, like, they're people with, like, you know, their bodies are not in proportion. And some people are like, what?
Yeah.
But now I've just...
What is going on?
Yeah, they're like, who is this? But I really enjoy that now. And I'm proud of them looking like that. So, yeah, I think I've just learned to love my style, like, no matter how it is. Like, I don't need to try so much. I just draw what I love and it seems to... become something I like. Yeah,
so let's go through a bit more of the journey. You started off with getting that first embroidery machine and you posted that photo on Instagram, And yeah. your friends messaged you, and did they say that they wanted to buy it? And is that when you clicked and went, oh, maybe this is what I should be doing?
Yeah, that was probably the point when I thought that it would work more, because like I said, I was doing little markets up till then where I was selling like those makeup bags and some prints and like all this weird stuff I used to make, like little key rings and stuff that no one really bought actually at the market. But I just, I don't know, I think that all led to towards like the t-shirt and stuff, which is something I think, you know, no one can ever have enough t-shirts, and actually it just sort of like fell into place with that. Yeah, and I did have friends who are willing to like buy them, and I think although your friends, you know, sometimes you're like, do you really like it or are you just being my friend, but people were willing to actually pay me for them, and so it just really, yeah, made me think that if they will, then other people might, and just to give it a try.
And did you, when you first started, was it just one top you started with, and was it just t-shirts you started with as well, or did you have a collection? What did that look like for you?
Yeah, no, I just started with t-shirts, yeah. And I had the Louis Theroux one, and I also had like one of the Cray twins, which was like my first design, which I actually really want to redo. It was like, you know, Ronnie and Reggie Cray. I don't know why, I just have a bit of an obsession with like...
You just watched Legend and Tom Hardy?
No, actually, I knew them before
And you were
that.
Like, I need to draw his face.
No, it's not actually based on Tom Hardy, surprisingly. But no, I don't know why. I just had always had this drawing, and I was like, I'm just going to put that on a t-shirt. And it was their faces, and then it says Ukraine, and then the other one says No Ukraine.
That's so
and I actually really want to redo that design. Yeah. But yeah, and then it was that. I think that's the one I posted, and everyone was like, ah. Yeah, and then I just started just sitting in my room for hours and putting all drawings that I've done into embroideries on t-shirts. I did that for a good few months, just trying them all, which for me is really fun. And then...
Yeah. So I then had 27 tops to wear for the next month.
I have so many, it's insane. Yeah, I've kept them all as well. Like, I've still got the first one I ever made, and it's terrible, but...
No way.
Yeah, I love it, yeah. But yeah, I think that's how it started, and then I just... It was a big learning process though, because obviously I'd never used a machine. I didn't have anyone I knew that I could ask for help with it either, because I just bought it without really knowing how to use it. So it took ages, and it was quite like frustrating at times. Yeah, because at first I couldn't work it out, like the program or anything. And like I say, it's quite fussy with like what it can embroider, the one I have. So yeah, it took a lot of time to like learn what could and couldn't be done. But once I cracked that, like then I just, yeah, I just had loads of fun, like making loads of different stuff.
So there was a lot of failed attempts at the beginning.
Yeah.
Did you get some tops out and you looked at it and you're like, oh, this is just terrible.
And now when I look at them, I'm like, oh, yeah. And like, if I go back on my Instagram, and like, it was just me making them. So it'd be me wearing it in the garden, but like with my head cut off the photo. I just remember one where I did like this really big watermelon on one side, and I just absolutely hate it now. But yeah, I like looking back at them, I guess.
I hate it so much.
I do.
Is that something where when you look back you see some gems that you actually want to recreate, or do you think actually you quite like the nostalgia of that style as kind of like a classic? I know you're talking about the Cray twins.
Yeah.
But are there any other ones where you've always wanted to remake them, or do you just quite like the way they look and the journey it tells?
Yeah, sometimes there are a few I want to redo because I feel like I still really like the idea behind them, and I think that they'd work. But yeah, I think my drawing style has changed a bit from now and then, and also like the quality of the embroidery. Like I've since got a new machine since the first one, so it's like a lot, it's like more of an industrial one, so it just the quality of it is so much better. But yeah, there are a few actually that are really old drawings, so like I've still got like all my old sketchbooks, and now and then if I get stuck of what to make, I'll just go through them all, and I like might see like one little drawing I've done and then turn that into something to release now. Yeah.
I was going to ask, how do you come up with your ideas? Do you have 100 images and then one of them you choose, or do you actually end up using quite a few, or do you print them out like you said for your tops and figure out which one actually looks good?
I definitely do a lot of like little sketches in loads of sketchbooks. Yeah. That's like the main way I like try stuff out. But I was thinking about how I come up with ideas. Mainly I just write loads of lists actually, of just like ideas on my phone in my notes section. Like if I'm out and I see something, or like someone says something, or I'm just watching TV and then I'm like, oh, I really like that character. Like I'll just write them all down, and then one day I'll just sit through them all and try and think, what can I make that into? I think that's mainly the way I do it. And then I'll always hand draw them first. And then now, since I have an iPad now, which I only got a couple of years ago, and then I'll just like sketch them out on there. And yeah, I probably draw it a few times before it's a final design. I don't just sit and draw it first thing.
So you write your lists, and do you find, because I know that yours are, a couple of yours are actually slogan based. You have like a little tagline, which I absolutely love. Not slogan, but like a little sentence, which I find really funny.
Yeah.
Like, you cray, no, you cray. That type of thing.
Do
you run these by people, or do you just make it and you go, I love that, I'm going to see what other people think? Or do you have someone who you turn to and be like, is this funny? You got to tell me straight. Otherwise, I'm not printing it. I'm not going to embroider it.
No, to be fair, I do. I sometimes, if I'm like properly like, I love this, like even if someone hates it, I love it too much, I'm making it, like I'll have a few of those. But then other times I do have to run them past everyone, or I sleep on it, because then the next day I'm like, oh my god, no, like that will not work. Because I love puns and like coming up with them, but then sometimes I think I go a bit far with the pun, so I need to make it understandable for everyone. But yeah, I'm always texting my friends, or ask my boyfriend. I drive him mental because I live with him, and he just has to hear me all the time, like, what about this one, what about this one? And like my mum and dad, I've always asked them as well. Yeah, just try and get opinions on it, because at the end of the day, like I always, like whenever I'm making a design, I try and base it on like my what do I like, and like would I wear it, because I feel like me and my friends is like my target audience, like who I think are buying them. So if I wouldn't wear it, or I think it's a bit cringy, or you know, then I try to go with that feeling. Yeah.
How have you built your audience?
I think a lot of people ask me like how I've like got it out there, but I don't really have any like tricks. It's just, I really have just used Instagram, to be honest. It's been like the most amazing like business thing for me, because I have no background in business or marketing or anything. I'm actually a bit clueless like when it comes to it all, but I've seemed to have built it up just purely by like posting pictures on Instagram. And I think my audience luckily is sort of the age range. People spend a lot of their time on Instagram, like, because I know I do, just like scrolling, like I'm guilty for it all the time. And yeah, I don't know, I just think it's managed to reach like a really wide audience. Like I think that's why I really like my designs, is because I feel like a lot of different ages and genders can relate to them, or like have heard of the person that I've done a design about, or they've seen the program that they're in. So yeah, I just think in that way, it's been great for me to sell to a lot of different people. And when I post it online, it's sort of, there's sort of the thing that maybe you'd like share, or like tag your friend in and be like, oh, look at this, hopefully. And I think that's how it spread a lot, because I haven't really paid for any advertising or marketing, or had any. Yeah, I've got no sort of like proper method, which I probably should have. But like so far, it seems to have been doing okay in that way, just like word of mouth and sharing it, which is what I think Instagram's amazing for. It has its flaws, but I love it for that.
I think it's incredible. You've got a very engaged audience as well on there, I feel. And a lot of people are doing the reposting and like doing their stories with your photo in it, and they're tagging you in it. So I think you have kind of built a community around it. Do you feel like that community was always there because they were looking for something like your clothing, your little slogans, your little the fun and the pastel style that you have? Do you feel like people were kind of always searching for that, and that's why they've kind of linked to it now?
Yeah, that's nice. Thank you. I hope
it's
so.
All good.
I hope so. Like, that's how I'd love to think about it. Like, people connecting or chatting or getting in touch with each other because of they've seen something that they know like their friend would like. I quite like that. I think there are a lot of amazing brands out there who also are doing really cool little drawings on clothing and things like that. But I've always tried to, I don't know, like, I've always tried to keep it a bit different in terms of the style, and also the fact that it's embroidered. I think kind of hopefully sets it apart from like other people's stuff. In terms of the whole community thing on Instagram, I do feel like that now. It actually feels really nice to post things on there, and like even on my stories, and like if I've had an idea or like I'm thinking about selling something, if I ask a question, I'll always get people telling me their opinion. And if I'm like, oh, anyone who could share this, I've got like a competition, or like recently did a design where I was like giving some of the profits to charity. So I mentioned like if anyone wants to give it a share to get it around, and like so many people do and actually are willing to like support small brands now. It's like it is amazing. And I think people really like to have that personal side of it, which I think you can get on Instagram through like stories or like posting like, oh, this is what I'm doing today. And yeah, I was always scared to do that, basically. I always thought that had to make the brand look really professional, and like there was a whole team of us, and I always write "we" in captions. I still do it out of habit. I don't mean to. But I used to sort of, yeah, I think just pretend that it was like so much bigger than maybe it was, because I thought that people would then trust it more and want to buy from it. But I've learned that people actually really like to know that, because it is just me that does it all. And I think that people like that, and they kind of want to help you grow, which is really nice of people. I think maybe I didn't know that before. Yeah.
You're so right with that. That balance of when you start, you're like, I need to look professional. And I feel like these are the things which would make me look professional, which is I've got a team, I've got a studio, I've got all of this stuff. But actually, people get really invested into you. And like the post you did, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, where you just did a time lapse of you literally packing up by hand every single top that anyone had bought. And then you were just saying, I'm just posting them all out today. Like, it's things like that, which I think just feel very genuine, which is really nice.
Yeah,
and people can kind of really get behind that.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I always worried that it looked like, I did always worry that it didn't look professional, and people would be like, oh, I only want to buy from like a big brand, or like, I don't know why I thought that. I don't know. I just had that in my head, and like, I didn't think people would want to see me doing that. But in a way, like now and then, I really like, that's what I like to see most about brands, is like how things are designed, or like, what does their desk look like? Like, cause I'm a bit nosy like that. So I'm trying more and more to show that side of it, cause I think that people do want to see. Yeah.
Do you think that the micro brands and the individual brands are growing quite a bit right now, just due to general consumerism, where everyone's getting the same clothing from the same place? Do you feel like you're getting a lot of support from that mentality standpoint?
Yeah, I think there's definitely been like a big like shift, especially last year and this year, in like people buying from small brands and also wanting to know exactly like the stages of how it's made and like where it's come from. And just I think there's a lot more appreciation for the time that goes into how all these things are made by people. Because I know, like, I used to walk around markets and like really want to, like, I'd really like a mug that was like handmade, but it would be 40-50 pounds, and I'd always be like, what? But it's only since I started making and selling, and it really is all of your time and energy and free time goes into making everything. It deserves to cost that. So now I always try and buy things that, if I love them enough, that even if they're expensive, because, you know, someone's really like put all of their, I don't know, all their effort and
their
thought into it. It's so much nicer than just buying off a website. Yeah. Not a website, like a bigger
company. I think when you pick that up each time. Yeah, totally. And when you pick that mug up each time, when you pick up that piece of clothing, you know that like this, someone really cared about making this individual piece of clothing.
Yeah.
Or this mug, like they spend a lot of time on it, and then you can appreciate it a little bit more.
Yeah, and I
that
also know that
just
like
tastes that little bit better.
Yeah, no, to be fair, it actually does. I have a mug like that. That's what I mean by the mug. But I also know that it isn't always possible, because, like, you know, like not everyone has like the spare money to spend on like really expensive things like that. Because I don't always too. But yeah, no, I think if you can, and like especially at the moment with like the whole lockdown and people finding it difficult, I think if there's something that you've wanted to buy from someone small, it would be a lovely time to do it. A lot of my friends who have like smaller brands and stuff, I know that they're like really worrying about just like, because they rely so much on like each month's income, because like they might have a studio that they rent and stuff like that. It's little things like that. I think people forget, like, oh yeah, they've got to pay rent for that to carry on making them. And yeah, so it's quite a stressful time, I think.
It's not just rent for a home, it's actually the space where they keep their stuff. Yeah. It's a big thing. I know when chatting to some of the artists in my first season of this, I didn't realise actually a studio could cost £400-£500, especially in London, just for a very small piece of space, just to put all of your materials to be an artist.
It's insane.
Or a musician for rehearsal rooms, like it's big.
Mm.
When did you feel like this, you could actually run at this as a full-time business? Did you feel like that was from the beginning? Because I know you work part-time along with running the business. Do you want to kind of explain, because we've gone up to where you started with the journey, we've looked through your creative process. Now, what has your journey looked like in the last 3 years when you started Limpet Store?
So the last 3 years. So basically, I guess I first started like the brand and wanted to start up the business sort of thing, rather than just making them for fun. I did that when I first moved to London. I moved up to London eventually, basically because all my friends had, and I wanted to follow them, not follow them, but hang out with them more. my plan in my head was to get a design job and do that, and then that would be me set. But that didn't happen. So that's when I got a job in a hotel in London, like central London, doing the reservations and stuff. So I did that like full time for two and a bit years, alongside trying to do Limpet as well. So I would just do it like in the evenings or on the weekend. And then I went down to part time, sort of went down to like 3 days a week. And then I like had this like sudden epiphany that like I could just suddenly quit and I would just make it work somehow. So I did that, and then that didn't really work. It wasn't quite at the point yet where it was full time. So I did that for like 3 months, and it was just such a stress, just worrying that I wasn't going to sell enough to be able to pay like my rent in London. I just really liked having the security of like the income from the other job. So I did actually go back to the same job. I was like, please, can I come back? So I went back there for...
Hi.
Yeah, me again. And they were like, luckily, they were like, okay. So I did that. for like 2 or 3 days a week, carried on doing that for like half a year. And then eventually it did get to the point I had like a really good Christmas, and I just was like, if I don't do it now, like I could continue doing this forever, but I need to put all my time into it, because it had got to the point where, yeah, I didn't have enough time to physically make all these orders at the same time as working. So yeah, and luckily it went all right.
And do you feel like you've seen a change since you've gone full time? And I think it's such a testament to show that you don't have to go from 0 to 100. You can just slowly look down and build something up from the ground up.
Yeah, I do think if someone was wanting to like start their own thing, I think that it's really important to like realize you don't have to it be your full-time thing and it work immediately for it to be like a successful thing. It didn't for ages for me, like for years, and it is now, luckily, and it's finally become a bit more steady. But up to that point, there would be like half the year would be like really, really quiet and a bit of a panic, and the second half Christmas would be really good, so I'd be relieved again. But it's like really like up and down emotional, like in terms of emotion, like when you're doing it by yourself. I think like there's no shame in like working alongside it, not at all. And also I found that I kind of wanted to be working in a creative field if I could alongside, because I just thought I'd enjoy it more. But actually it kind of made me enjoy doing my own bit after work even more, because I was doing a job that was so boring in the day. And like it was
you just
fine.
Couldn't wait to get home make your clothes.
I mean, yeah, it sounds so weird in my little room.
No, not at all.
No, but I think I did enjoy the job to an extent. Like I like had friends there and stuff, so it was like a bit of a laugh each day. But it made me realize that I really just did not want to do that forever. And there are people there that had been there for like 6 or 7 years and worked their way up to be a manager, and like, which is amazing because that's what they wanted to do. But it just made me think, oh no. And I think it made me work harder.
Do you think that when you did that shift to full time, do you feel like it's grown considerably now you can put your full effort into it? Or do you feel like actually it's just steadily growing as it was before, but you're now just in the position where you can do it as a full-time job?
I think that having the extra time did help it to grow, to be fair. Like I think I could have probably still done it, even like with working part time. But just, yeah, just knowing that I had, that this was my job. I think I felt like it was more my job when it suddenly was full time rather than a, like, in my spare time hobby type thing. It suddenly was like, okay, like, this is it, and I want to make it good enough to be this forever. So I don't know, in terms of like my mentality, I think that changed a bit. I just started realizing that I like need to give it a proper chance because it could actually be something. Whereas before, maybe because I had like the work stability, maybe I wasn't always willing to do it on the weekend, you know, because I was like, oh, well, I don't need to because, you know, I've got this pay coming in. But definitely hope to do it full time because even just in terms of like the designing, I think I used to like rush them a bit when I was working as well, because I would just end up making the orders rather than like coming up with new ideas, which is the bit I love the most. So all of that side of it got a bit neglected, whereas now I try to like set aside like whole days just to like come up with designs, which is nice. Yeah,
I was gonna ask, how, what is your ideation process like? Is it, do you set aside days, do you find that's effective, or do you actually find it spur of the moment, you feel something, like you were saying, where you have your book of ideas?
Yeah.
From when you see something out and about.
I do a bit of both. Like I'm quite an unorganized person. Like my mind is all over the place all the time. So I work like that in the sense that they'll just, you know, I'll be doing something else and then I'll be like, oh yeah, I want to do that. So I'll just have my phone for that reason to write them all down. But I have really found over time, like trying to structure my days and my weeks is really important, because otherwise I feel a bit, I can just get a bit like lost. I'll just start doing one thing and then I'll find myself doing like emails, and then suddenly I'll pause like mid email to go and do something else, and it just all gets a bit much. So yeah, I do now try and do like, this day is going to be like packing orders like for these 3 days, and then for the rest of the week I'm going to do like new designs, and yeah, that's helpful.
I can imagine that actually when you go into full your own structure, it can be very difficult to try and actually build that structure in yourself.
Yeah.
Did you find that from the start you kind of put yourself in a structure, or do you feel like you had that moment where you did lull into like one day molding into the other? Or did you feel like you'd already gone in prepared, like, okay, if I'm gonna do this, I need to lay out what my week looks like?
Yeah, I was doing it. So it was like the Christmas before last was like my big, like from it growing, like was suddenly like went really well and had so many orders, and it was like way more than I imagined and had prepared for. And it was at the point where I was still making every single one, like myself on my machine in my spare room. And like each one can take like up to an hour to embroider. So if I had like, I don't know, I could only do so many in a day basically. And it got to a point where that Christmas I was just like staying up like all night long because I had to like physically finish them all.
To put the new top in and
Yeah. And it was like, it was so stressful. Actually, yeah, it led me to have not the best time at the beginning of last year because it just all got too much and I was working from home by myself, like day in, day out, had no one to talk to. I was just in this room, like next to this really loud machine, just doing constantly one after the other. It was weird because it's all I had wanted it to be, was for it to grow and have all these orders. But at the same time, the lifestyle of it was not enjoyable, really. Like it was just me there doing it by myself. And yeah, anyway, it just became so stressful that I actually had to have like a little break at the beginning of last year for a while, just like in terms of like had a bit of a tough time with like mental health type things. And that sort of led me to like change the way that I do everything, which was like, now I see it as like a really positive thing that happened because it's like kind of changed the whole structure of like my whole business. And now it's way more manageable and I can see it like being able to grow, whereas before like wasn't sustainable. So yeah,
like running yourself into the ground.
Yeah. Like genuinely was. And like, I didn't really have a social life or anything. It just became like my whole entire life. And it's like all I would think about, worry about, talk about. And it was just not. Yeah, then I didn't want that to be my job, so I was like, I need to change it somehow. So now I work with a small embroidery house up in Leeds, and it's family run, and they have like loads of embroidery machines, and I know them really well now, and they help me do a lot of my orders if I've got like bigger orders. Really? Or busy time. Yeah, so like their embroidery is amazing. Like it's better than mine my machine either. So yeah, so I still make as much, like, you know, as much as I can. And like also when I sell like one-off things like cushions, or like if I want to try out a new design, I'll like make it all myself, but they do help me a lot with it, so it's really helped me.
Do you think that's the biggest thing that you changed from that time in January, February time?
Yeah, I think that, and also trying to like set a working day for myself, because I was doing it like morning and night and weekends, and it was like all blurring into one. I didn't have like the work life balance type thing. Now I really try and, you know, get up like early and work until like six, and then I'll try and stop. I find it really hard because for me, I enjoy doing it so much that I'll just be sat there watching TV at night, and I'll be like replying to messages on my Instagram, which I guess is work. But for me, I'm like, it doesn't feel like it, so I just do it. But I have tried to stop that and like separate them, because otherwise it just, yeah, it's all I do otherwise.
I know that I was just chatting to Alex Manzi, who's going to be the first of this new season episodes. But he was saying that he, at like 8 p.m., he'll put his phone onto airplane mode.
Oh, yeah.
And then he'll have it on airplane mode until like 9 the next day, and that's where he'll then get a big chunk of messages come through, but that's when he'll then be like clocked in again to being to like working. Because for a lot of people, where social media becomes their work, whereas social media for other people is their escape, it's really hard to find that divide.
Yeah. No, that's actually a really good idea. I put it on Do Not Disturb, but maybe I should do airplane mode. I haven't thought about that. Yeah.
The biggest thing he said was, well, the biggest thing that we kind of like, I want to say we figured out, I feel like it was more him, but the biggest thing we figured out in the conversation was that when you get all of the messages come through at once, you actually can filter out the things that aren't like gaining anything from that message.
Yeah.
Whereas if you get them every 10 minutes, you kind of reply in and put a lot of thought into each one. Whereas actually, if you get them all at a chunk, you can go, okay, these are relevant. These are probably like, I'll leave them for later. Or these, I don't even need to worry about these.
Yeah.
When you get them as a chunk, because you go on airplane mode, so you don't get anything. And that I thought was really interesting.
That is actually quite a good idea, because you're right. Like, if you're replying to each one as they come in, it literally feels like they're never ending. And like, it's like a to-do list that just keeps getting longer. And sometimes it does feel a bit much. And so I will just like not reply or post anything for like a whole day or something at a time. But I don't really like doing that, because I feel like I'd like to always be there able to reply. So actually that's probably quite a good technique. Might try that.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Try that out.
Yeah, I will.
Do you find that divide, just diving a little bit deeper in, do you find that divide for your social media is something you can easily do? Do you feel like when you're talking to your friends now, you're not thinking about Limpet? Or do you think, because it is your, and it's okay to say no, because if it is your passion, it is your love, which is this clothing and this idea, it's okay to say that you do think about it all the time. But how is your relationship with that?
No, it has definitely got better, because I think like that was at the point, that was what I was like before, because I just like cared so much about making it work, and I just felt like for it to be successful, I have to like really put all my time and effort into it. And I think that you do have to work hard at something, but you definitely do not need to let it like stress you and overwhelm you to the point where it is like all consuming. Like, because as a person, I think I've learned over time that I'm quite like all or nothing. Like, if I want to do something, I'll just figure out how to do it, and I like will do it until I've done it. I won't sort of just be relaxed about it, which is a good thing in a way. But I've learned that even if I feel like I could carry on and I want to keep doing that tonight, like I need to be kind of strict with myself, if that makes sense. But no, it's definitely got a lot better now. Like I really enjoy having time off from it, because it's not right to do your work the whole entire time. And I don't want it to be all I think about. So I've definitely managed to create more of a good like separation, and like make sure I do like have a social life. And like when I wasn't, that was really damaging to, I don't know, just like losing the fun out of things. Like it took the fun out of also the brand for me, and it just made me be like, oh, every time I'd get like an order or something, because I would be like, oh, that means I've lost that more time, and you know, but now because I've got set days where I go and do that, it doesn't really faze me. I'm like, feel on top of it.
I never even thought that when you feel so overwhelmed, you having people buy something from you, you're then like, okay, that's an hour out of.
I know, which is awful.
When you didn't have that, but that's when you didn't have that structure. Whereas now you've got the structure, that's everything is exciting.
Yeah,
but it's
exactly.
Because I think everyone will go through that if it's your first time ever running a business, which is actually having the success you're having. Is that flick of a switch where you go, okay, I need to actually think about this. I need to take a step back and restructure.
Yeah.
Because I guess you go through each phase and there's different things you then have to tackle just from the amount of people who are interested.
Yeah. And it is like totally learning all, because it's easy now for me to be like, oh yeah, of course I should have done that before it got too busy. Or like I should have expected that Christmas would be busier than the beginning of the year. So I should have like made loads of stuff in preparation. But I mean, very organized people probably work that way, which is good. But I think most people don't work like that, which,
yeah,
you know, because they're just human. They're not like a robot. You can't like plan ahead without knowing. So, but yeah,
I'm just a person.
Yeah, I'm just a human. I know. If you're starting up something, but you don't have any background in it or anyone to really ask, like I've got like my family who I ask all the time. My dad has his own business. So like in a way that's been really helpful to like learn little bits, but I don't really have anyone close that works in the same like sort of industry or has like done the same thing to constantly just like ask questions. And so, for example, even finding like the embroidery company that I now work with, like I didn't even know where to start to find them. And it was such a struggle talking by email with them at first to like get them to understand like my way of how I've designed things and like how I'd like them to look, because obviously they don't know. And so yeah, all of that is like such a long process, so it took months to figure that out and then to actually like place the order and wait for it to arrive and see if it was right, and I had to go back and forth like 6 times I think to start with. But yeah, it's all of that, like it's just like massive learning thing that I don't think you can be taught. You just have to like figure it out as you go. Yeah.
Do you think so? I've got like 2 more questions before we finish up, but one of them is, I know that you've worked with different brands, but you've also had your stuff stocked in areas. What was that process like? Because I think a lot of people who maybe want to start their own brand are thinking, okay, how do you do these things? Because I know, am I right that did you work with Vimto, or did they just send you a bunch of Vimto stuff? Like what was the deal with that?
I made that, I've got Danny DeVimto.
I had so many questions when it came up.
I know. I made the Danny DeVimto design because I love Danny DeVito, and it just came to me one day. I don't know when. And then they just like got in touch with me on Instagram. So I think they saw it, because I think I just hashtagged like Vimto on one of the pictures. And then they were like, oh, we would like to feature you on our Vimto page. And I was like, okay. And then, so they did that. Yeah. And then she was like, oh, can I have your address as well? So I just gave it. And then one day I was just doing work, and then this massive like boxes of stuff arrived, and I was like, what? And then we opened them. My dad was there as well, and he opened them. He's like, it's Vimto. And then I had like crates of Vimto. Yeah, it's amazing. But no, they
the
just
height
sent them.
Of success.
No, not gonna lie, I've never been sent anything free before. That was the first and still the only thing, but it's been the best surprise. Because
there's
incredible. Cans of Vimto. Yeah.
And so, okay, I finally figured out how that all happened, because I was so curious when it all went down.
No, yeah.
The other thing is reaching out to retail spaces or spaces to stock your clothes, even online.
Yeah.
How did you go about doing that? And how would you recommend people go about doing that if from what you've learned over the last couple of years of doing that?
It's a tricky one, because I'm still also figuring out myself in terms of like the larger companies. Because it is quite difficult to get noticed by larger brands. They probably are like bombarded every day with people that want to stock with them. So yeah, I mean, I've been quite lucky in the way that most of them, I think I've emailed a lot of shops. So like, you know, like boutique shops and stuff, like one-off high street shops that sell really cool stuff. I did a lot of emailing around, like made a lookbook So just like images of all of my products, and then like a line sheet, which is basically just, yeah, each product with the wholesale price and retail price and what it's made of and what colors you can offer. Like I just made it myself on Photoshop. It's nothing fancy. Just put that together. And I was just emailing that round to like loads of shops, which I liked, and sort of putting in the email like why I really liked their stuff, why I thought my brand would fit in there well. And to be honest, not many replied and they still don't now, even when I email them. It's really hard to get an answer out of people, I think, unless they maybe have heard of you or you've got like some sort of introduction to them. It is actually quite difficult. But yeah, that's the way I've got into some little shops like that, and then just like building up a relationship with them. Instagram as well. Like I've had just some shops email me on there, or I've messaged them and just asked if they're looking for new brands, or they've been like, are you doing wholesale? And it's worked that way. But in terms of like bigger retailers, for me, like, so I've done, there's lots of opportunity to like little pop up like concessions within. So I did one in Topshop a couple of years ago, which is, you can find, there's like companies like Appear Here, and they always offer like spaces within retailers or spaces of their own that you can hire.
They're an incredible company.
Yeah. It's cool, isn't it? So I did one through them. That was the first one I ever did. Yeah, I mean, I don't really have, I wish I had like a clear answer on how to do it, because I would be doing it more as well myself. But what I've learned is basically to try and find the email of the buyer. There's usually a buyer in a company, or they have like a title like brand buyer. So the person that
What is the buyer? Just, oh yeah.
So they're, yeah, sorry. No, they're just the person who within the company like is in charge of like discovering other brands that maybe fit well with their brand style and that they could also stock on their site. So yeah, I've worked with, like you said, it's like a, called a branded buyer, and to try and get in touch with them basically. And I think there's lots of different ways you could do it. It's like just by email, or by like reaching out if you like know their Instagram, or by actually sending them like a physical piece of your work, like a t-shirt or something, if you manage to find the address of the office. Yeah, I think it's just getting their attention in a way that I don't know, they notice, rather than just maybe a boring email. Try and do something a little bit more different. I think sending a physical example, if you're like, you've made something that's like really good quality and like, you know, it's like better in person. Like sometimes I think, for example, my stuff with embroidery is better in person, which is hard because it's all online. But if I send that to people, hopefully they'd notice that out of other things. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. Try and be that thing that sticks out a little bit more.
Yeah, which is really hard. And it feels like it's like pressure to think of a way to do things differently. But a lot of the time as well, I think taking any opportunity or like going to like talks, I don't know, like little events and stuff, like I've met a lot of people that way as well. And then that's led to someone that they know that works in this place, and they've managed to give me an email, or like a lot of it's stuff like that, which is difficult if you're not like a people person. Like I find it really hard to like network and things like that. So yeah, I mean, there's just loads. I think you can go about it all different ways.
Yeah. And yeah, this is going to be my final question before we finish up.
Okay.
So just know there's a lot of pressure on this one.
Oh, no, don't. Good,
so looking back at your career and looking through every journey, and from feeling out where you actually wanted to start, to starting off with the makeup bags, and realizing that actually there are different things you could be doing within that, you creating your own stuff, which then ended up being Limpet Store, and the amazing growth you've had with that. What would you say now, but also what would you say in a year or 2 years, is what you would feel is success? Doesn't have to be numbers, it could be numbers, but what would you want to see as success for you personally and for the brand Limpet?
I'm
sitting back in my chair now.
Oh, you're done. I think for me, I do see it more as like a future now that I can sort of imagine, whereas before I was just doing it bit by bit. But now I'd love it to grow into I don't know, I just love it to grow in many ways. Obviously, I'd love to get it out there more to people and it to be more of a physical brand rather than just online. Like, I love selling online, and I think it's like amazing the countries and the people that you can reach. But I also feel like it would be great to for people to be able to shop it in real life. So that is a bit of a dream. Like, I'd actually love to have my own shop, but maybe in the future. And then the other thing for me, like, I recently did this design because of like the lockdown, which is called like Stay at Home Club t-shirt, which I've been selling and giving some money to charities. And like, I've always wanted to actually, before I did any of this, like, do a job that was like helpful to people in some way. Like, I'd literally love to have been a nurse or look after people somehow, but I'm just too squeamish. So in a way, doing this charity design like has made me realize that you can actually sort of help people through any sort of thing, and I really enjoyed doing that, and that's something that I would love to do for the future of it. I really like how I think my designs have hopefully like brought people together, like they can like laugh over the same thing, and like maybe has helped relationships or like brought awareness to subjects people weren't too sure about, or managed to raise some money for like some really good causes. And like, that's where I feel like most, I don't know, I just feel like that's most fulfilling for me, is like seeing that come from like t-shirts and like drawings. So yeah, I'd love to like grow more in that way as well.
I love that.
Thanks.
Emily Fluin, thank you so much for coming on today. It's been fascinating to hear your whole journey and every single ebb and flow that happened through it. If anyone wants to find Emily and Limpet Store on social media, she is at limpet_store on Instagram, and it's limpetstore.com if you want to find her website. Emily, is there anything else you want to shout out? Anything coming up, or is it just buy the Stay at Home Club t-shirt?
Oh yeah, buy that. And I'm going to be doing soon a hopefully like this weekend, I want to start doing like a sort of make your own t-shirt club, where people can like, I want to encourage people to draw more, because I feel like it can be helpful in so many ways. And yeah, so people can send me their like designs, and I'm going to pick my favorite. I'm going to try and do it every couple of weeks and then put it on a t-shirt for them, like as a prize. So hopefully.
That's so cool.
Yeah, like, I just think it's like, you know, especially with all the lockdown going on, like people, it's hard to be like do your own creative thing, but I think it can really like help people like relax and like do something not stressful for a while. So yeah, I'm hoping it will like help people to do more things like that. So that should be out this Sunday.
Oh, nice. And I know you've temporarily closed your store for the time being with everything going on. So are you going to be printing those off like in your house with your own personal embroider?
Yeah, because I can't do orders, so I'm going to be doing that. Yeah, I've got my machine in my house, so I'll just be making those and sending them out. Yeah.
Sweet. Emily, thank you so much for coming on. It's been fascinating.
You're welcome. Thank you. Yeah. It's been really nice.
Everyone, thank you so much for listening. Yeah, it's been so nice. And there we go. That is the start of season two. The first two episodes have dropped. I hope you enjoyed this one. If you haven't already heard Alex Manzi, please do head over and listen to that episode as well. We've done two today. Our next one is out next Monday. Please sit tight for that one. I hope you had a good time. If you have, please let me know. On Instagram, I'll be posting some photos in the work which these guys have made there, but also in the reviews. If you could give us a 5-star review, that goes so far. I appreciate you guys so much. Thank you. Have a good rest of the day.